Revelation chapter 22. If you don't know where that is, just flip to the very end of your Bible. It's before you get to the maps. Okay. And just a quick note as we're turning there, we're so glad you're here. I know, see some of y'all that I see every Sunday. Some of y'all who I only see every once in a while because you're back in town from school. You're back in town with family. And some of y'all are just meeting today. So we're really glad y'all are here to worship with us today. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. Hear now God's living and active word. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes that we might pray, come, Lord Jesus, and you grow our love for your appearing. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, do you know that feeling of waiting for somebody to come who you really miss? It's really been a long time since you've seen them. And they're going to arrive, and there's this anticipation to see them. You really want to see them. There's this imagining of what it will be like before that moment arrives. There's, you know, what will they say? What will their jacket smell like? Probably musty, like it smelled like last time. Are they going to tell that joke that they tell every time they see me and they forget they told it? And so it's the longer you've been apart, that the greater that expectation is, that longing. Well, let me tell y'all, this kind of expectant waiting is at the very heart of Advent. Now, Advent means coming. That's what the word means, Advent, coming. Christians throughout the ages have called this season, the season where we have this Advent calendar, Advent, because we treasure the first coming of Christ, and we await, we long for his second coming. Well, why? Well, it's because God coming to us is the epic story of Scripture. We could sum up the message of the Old Testament in this, God saying, I'm coming for you. And the message of the New Testament we could say is, God saying, I've come for you, and I'm coming again. And so we long to get caught up in the story of waiting, fulfilled, and waiting yet to be fulfilled. But instead, we get swept along in the current of our culture. Maybe eating chocolate. Not that chocolate is bad. But a culture that screams, buy, eat, give, shop, scroll, click, drink unseemly amounts of eggnog, then buy and eat some more. And it's this current that's easy to just get swept up into. And the last thing that the culture is saying is, wait. Lean into waiting. It's been said that to keep Advent as a season of spiritual reflection and waiting requires us to be countercultural. And so how do we, like Mary, treasure up Christ's first coming in our hearts and ponder it in our hearts and stoke a longing for his second coming? Well, here in the final words of Scripture, we have what we need. We have the Advent promise, we have the Advent prayer, and we have the Advent benediction. And so let's look at this promise. What is this Advent promise? Well, simple. Surely I'm coming soon. And so let's look. Who's making this promise? Who's the I? Well, it says, look back in verse 20. It says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Well, who is that? Who's testifying here? Well, look back up in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things. Jesus makes this promise. And what is the promise? Well, surely I'm coming soon. Looking back in verse 7 and 12 of Revelation 22, you notice anything? Verse 7, and behold, I'm coming soon. Verse 12, behold, I'm coming soon. And then verse 20, surely I'm coming soon. This is the third time in the last chapter of Scripture that Jesus says he's coming soon. I think he's trying to get our attention. And coming here means coming back. It means a return. It's the return of the King. And John begins and ends Revelation with talking about Jesus' return. If you were to flip back to Revelation 1, verse 7, you'll see, "Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." Revelation is bookended by Jesus' return being promised. Jesus' words in John 14 echo back, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, and I'll take you to myself, that you may be where I am also." And so this brings up the question, why will Jesus return? Why is he coming back? And we don't actually get the answer to that in our passage this morning. We have to look in the broader context of Revelation. And the short answer is this: Jesus is coming back because he loves us. In Revelation 1, John writes, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood." And so, like a passionate groom, Jesus is waiting too. He's waiting, waiting for the day when he will come back and sweep his bride, the church, off her feet and take us to be with him forever. And so Jesus is clear. That day will also be a day of judgment. We don't need to miss this. To those who have trusted in Jesus, expected him, waited for him like Simeon, Jesus will say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's the verdict that the judge will give to those who have trusted in Jesus. To those who disregard Jesus, he will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's heavy. That's weighty. Jesus is returning as judge. And so that leads us to one more question. And this is maybe the question that people have tried to find out over the years. When is Jesus going to come back? Okay. I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm sorry. Many have sought to pin down the answer to this question, and none have succeeded. Because Jesus doesn't tell us when he's going to return. And he means not to tell us. What he does tell us is this: surely I'm coming soon. It can also be translated quickly. Coming soon. And we may second guess Jesus. I'm tempted to. Really soon? Come on. It's been almost 2,000 years. But that would be to question the God who exists outside of our understanding of time. The God who's patient, not wanting any to perish, not wanting any to receive that judgment of being cursed forever. He doesn't want that. And so he's waiting that all should repent. And also, that would be to miss Jesus' main point. Jesus wants Christians in every age to sense the nearness of his coming. Could it be today? The God who is patient, and this fosters a desire to be watchful and ready when he comes. The nearness. "Watch therefore," Jesus says, "for you know neither the day nor the hour." Matthew 25. Brothers and sisters, we don't know the day or we don't know the hour, but there is a day. There is an hour. And it could be today. And so let us be watchful and ready by holding fast to Jesus' promise. And so how are we to hold fast to his promise? Well, we learn to pray this Advent prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus makes a promise, and our prayer echoes this promise back. He says, "I'm coming." We say, "Come, come, Lord Jesus." And what is the prayer? Well, three things we see. It's a waiting prayer. It's a prayer prayed in the waiting, a prayer that Jesus would end the waiting. End it. Come, come back, quick. Because waiting is hard. Waiting to open presents. Waiting on a diagnosis, waiting for a relationship to be mended, waiting for physical, spiritual, emotional healing, waiting to see a loved one who's gone to be with Jesus, waiting for financial provision, for graduation. In times of waiting, our hearts can deceive us that God, maybe he's not good. Maybe he's forgotten. Maybe he's not even there. Where are you waiting this morning? What is a situation in your life where you feel a sense of waiting? God, help! Where are you? Let me say, there are two kinds of waiting. There is one waiting that is what Christopher Ashe calls a hell-like waiting. A hellish waiting. And this is waiting experienced apart from Christ. It's waiting with no fulfillment. It's waiting with no end. As he puts it, waiting can be a foretaste of the terrors of hell. For hell is waiting and waiting without hope. Hell is an eternity of waiting in vain. But then there's hope-filled waiting. And hope-filled waiting is the kind of waiting experienced in growing depth by the believer in Jesus. Because you know that there's a glorious end to the waiting. It's not this endless waiting. In Luke 2, we see this man named Simeon waiting to embrace someone he's never met. But he knows with all of his being that he's going to meet this one. Someone will come. Could be today. And as he waited, he had this burning hope in his chest. Sure, it waxed and waned. There were days where he thought, am I ever going to... What was that promise? Maybe I was just having gas or something. No, he heard the Holy Spirit. May this be increasingly true of us, this hope-filled waiting. Well, it's not only a waiting prayer, it's a love-filled prayer. John Piper notes that the prayer, come Lord Jesus, is rooted in something deeper. I love you, Jesus. Now think about it. If you don't love Jesus, you won't really care for his return. It won't really cross your mind if you don't love him, if you're not excited to see him. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul uses the phrase, all who have loved his appearing. And I think that's what's behind this prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. I love you. I love your appearing. Come back. Those who love Jesus will love his appearing. They will long for his return. But the opposite is also true. Those who don't love Jesus will not love his appearing. And Paul gives an example of that kind of person. This guy named Demas. He says that Demas was in love with this present world and he has deserted me. And so this prayer, come Lord Jesus, can be revealing. Try praying it. I have all week and I've seen some things in my own heart. It shows what we really love. Do I really want Jesus to come back? Do I love his appearing? Or is there a big part of me that really just loves this world? The temptation is to pray, come Lord Jesus, but not today. Don't be in any rush. I've grown quite fond of things here. And that's an opportunity to confess that, just to be honest with God. There's part of me that really loves the world and doesn't long for your appearing. God, help me to return to the love I had at first. Or maybe it's an opportunity to admit that I never really loved Jesus in the first place. Maybe I go to church. Maybe I don't. Maybe I try to be nice to people. But Jesus, that guy asked for too much. He asked for everything. And I want to keep back part of me for myself. Well, that is an opportunity to give yourself wholly to Jesus for the first time. And when you do, let me just tell you, you won't get your life back. You'll get something completely new. Come, Lord Jesus, is a love-filled prayer. And lastly, it's the sum of all prayers. That's using someone else's words. If this one prayer were answered, come, Lord Jesus, every prayer you've ever prayed would be answered in a more glorious way than you can ever imagine. If this one prayer were answered, all your deepest desires would be met in an instant. Because all our desires are ultimately met in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Think about it. This is the Lord's Prayer summed up in three words. It's a prayer for when you don't know what else to pray, for when you don't want to pray, for when all seems lost, for when God seems far away. Come, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, Emmanuel. And finally, we have this Advent benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Benediction simply means good word. It's a good word. It's a good word of blessing on God's people. What better word to end the Bible with than grace? The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. It's a fitting way to end because, as one put it, in Christ, grace always has the last word. It's this word that rings through the ages. Canon closed, end of scripture, grace. Grace be with you in Jesus Christ. And so there we have it. We are the waiting ones, waiting for Advent, waiting for the second Advent, the return of the King, the Lamb of God once lying in a manger to live and to be slain for us, will be the Lion of Judah riding a white horse to finally and forever rescue us, to bring that consolation that Simeon was waiting for. Sisters and brothers, be of good cheer. Our waiting will soon end. May our celebrations today and tomorrow just whet our appetite for the celebration on that day. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, would you speed the coming of your Son? Come today. That would be the best Christmas ever. Oh, Father, for those who may love this world and never have really loved Jesus, I pray that this would be the day that they might say for the first time, come, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, change me, make me new, change everything, and then come quickly to take us home. May these offerings even be an act of worship to that end. In your name, Jesus, amen.